3, 2, 1. From Rapid City, South Dakota, hosted by Josh Van Valkenburg Gernert, this is the Hard Rocker Podcast Network.
My name is Josh Van Valkenburg Gernert. Welcome to this week's episode of the Coach's Corner. I'm here with head men's basketball coach Eric Glenn. Thanks for joining me today, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Josh.
Just kind of getting started, you're a couple weeks into practice now. What have you been pleased with so far? What are you still looking to, I guess, accomplish going into your first game here?
Well, I think coming off last year, you know, we had a really good offensive year. I thought defensively we were very inconsistent. Specifically, we didn't guard the three-point line real well. So that's one of the things that we're really working on, is trying to become a better three-point defending team. And, you know, with that comes just a little bit of different positions, way we pressure the ball, some of our help rotations, things like that, and getting our guys just to get comfortable with getting out there on the ball a little bit harder and forcing that ball inside the three-point line. So with that being said, I've been really happy with the way our guys have been doing it. You know, because it's early on when you do things like that, you know, you get beat a little bit to the basket, and, you know, you give up some easy stuff. And our guys are hanging in there mentally and, you know, really buying into the process that it's taken. And over the 3 weeks, boy, we've really seen some good progress. And it's only 3 weeks in, and I'm pretty happy with where that's at.
Yeah, you bring back quite a few guys, I guess, starting with Ollie Rama. He's, I think, going into his fifth year, actually, now. What's it like to just have somebody with that much experience, with that much, you know?
Well, not only is Ollie a fifth-year guy, but he's just got a great basketball mind. You know, he's a coach's kid, comes from a basketball family. You know, he does think the game a little bit different than your normal college player. He loves to watch film. He studies the game. He's just a really big-time student of the game of basketball. So, you know, that in itself is really special, because it's like having an assistant coach out on the floor with Ollie out there. And so that's what I really like. And obviously he's a playmaker too, and he can do things like that. But, you know, just from that, the experience helps with it, but he's always been that type of player that's been a student of the game.
I know you guys have been pretty excited about some of the new guys you've brought in. Guido Wanchelbaum, Guillaume Garcia, Cam Cohn, and Ethan Bruns as well. Can you talk a little bit about their adjustment into kind of the program?
Yeah, you know, well, anytime you're trying to get into a system, you know, there's going to be a transition period. And so each of those guys are working their own way through that. You know, some guys pick up certain things quicker than others. You know, Cam is a great example of a player that, you know, he's still kind of, as we like to say, swimming in his mind a little bit with everything. But he is such a dynamic player that he still can go out there and make plays. And, you know, he came to my office one day here about a week ago, and, you know, and he didn't think he was playing very well. And I was like, well, yeah, you're not necessarily doing exactly what we want, how we want you to do it yet. But holy cow, look at the plays you're already making. You know, once you're able to feel comfortable, well, he's going to be a really good player for us. Guillaume is another player that's going to come along. He, you know, they're just all going through that transition a little bit. We've got and Guido is going to be another guy that's going to be a really good. He's a big, good stretch forward for us. He's really starting to kind of pick up on some of the things that we're doing. And then Ethan is a freshman coming in. You know, he was just playing high school basketball less than a year ago. You know, so he's able to come in, and we just love his motor. He just really plays extremely hard. Again, he's learning the transition from high school to the college game. But at the same time, he's out there making some plays and stuff. And we're really he's one that, you know, it's still what we're going to decide what to do with him, whether we're going to redshirt him this year or have him play. And because it's really wide open in those forward spots right now.
Sure. You always kind of schedule difficult, not even just in the regular season, but scrimmages too. I know you're going to Wyoming. You have Northern, and then starting with the Lone Star Challenge pretty much every year.
Yeah, and don't forget Utah State, who was an NCAA tournament team last year.
Yeah. Well, so. How much benefit do you think that gives your team in just being ready for?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, that's our philosophy, you know, is that, you know, we tell our guys that, is that, you know, you come here, you're gonna learn how to beat the best and play with the best. And only to do that, you got to play the best. And so we try to play the best teams that we can play. you know, with the RMAC schedule, we play 22 conference games out of our 28 games that we can play. That only leaves you 6 games to prepare for that conference. And so, you know, back in the day when you maybe only played 18 or 16 conference games, you know, you would maybe, for me, philosophy-wise, I would maybe then think about trying to get a couple teams in that maybe you think would be a little bit lesser of a challenge and things like that. But with only 6 games to get ready for the conference season, I feel like you really need to get out there and play great competition and find out what's going to take to play at a very high level.
One of your, I guess, key kind of graduates last year is Colton Mortensen, who's obviously playing in Germany now. What have you kind of been looking at in, you know, obviously it's hard to replace a guy like that.
Yeah.
But kind of stepped up for you?
You know, it's not every day you can find a guy who can shoot 50% from the three and then also go in the post and, you know, shoot over 60% in the post as well. And so, yeah, Moore was a pretty special offensive player for us. That's going to be a little bit more by committee. You know, we've got to be probably a little bit more efficient at all spots across the board. Because he's a guy that, you know, probably made up for some shortcomings from some other guys last year. And we're probably not going to necessarily have that type of, you know, if we do, it would be great. We'll see. You know, there's still, but right now I'm not quite seeing it yet from anybody that's playing at that kind of level. But at the same time, we don't have guys that aren't playing good. You know, I mean, 50% is just outstanding from the three. You know, we'll take a guy who's shooting 38, 39% from the three. That's still pretty darn good. And those are kind of things that, you know, we're going to really miss from him. And some of the other guys are just going to be, you know, Ollie was an extremely efficient player for us last year. I think Cam is going to be that type of player. And Colton Fregoli was an extremely, you know, efficient player for us as well. And then Keegan Smith, you know, he had a really slow start last year. And by the time we got to conference, though, he really started playing well. And his conference season was excellent. And, I mean, he was probably just a couple points per game away from being an all-conference-type selection. So,
yeah, you kind of mentioned the efficiency. I think you had, like, 6 of your top 7 last year averaged over 1.1 points a shot.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is a really good number.
Yeah.
How do you kind of get, I mean, what do you have to do to kind of keep that number growing?
Shot selection is a big thing, you know, and work together as a team, you know. I think that's what's great about our school is we get guys that, for the most part, are just really good people, and they understand the team concept. And so our guys have to buy into that, no personal agendas, and we got to make sure that we're shooting good shots. Anytime a guy decides to have his own personal agenda, you know, it's pretty apparent, and you could see that dip. And so for us to not have that very often within our team, is what's really helps us out in that area. And obviously you got to have guys that are talented and they can shoot the ball and stuff. And then we work on a ton of things in the lane, of finishing in the lane and being able to get off 2 feet and using shot fakes and getting to the free throw line as well. That's a huge part of it also.
Sure. Both the last couple of years you've had pretty strong starts to the seasons, and then you've just had like a small little losing streak kind of in the middle of the year that's hurt you. What do you kind of have to do to avoid that?
Well, I think that was probably 2 things that probably helps, that does that. Is the one is the competition changes that we played. During some of those stretches, we're probably playing some of the top teams.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at our season last year, you know, we didn't beat any of the teams in the top 5. We had a winning record with the rest of the teams.
Sure.
And so that's the thing we've got to do, is that we've got to figure out how to beat the best. We just haven't beat the best yet. You know, obviously we lost that group with Logan Ellers and Mitch Suker and Damani Hayes, and we lost 8 guys there. And so in this rebuild, since we've lost all those guys, that's been our biggest thing, is how do we find that, get that next step of beating the best.
Sure.
And get our name back into that top 5 area.
Yeah, and
it's so close. You know, you look at both of our Mines games. You know, at Mines, you know, we're down 1 with the ball with 1.5 minutes to go. We lose to them here by 2. You know, they're a nationally ranked team.
Yeah.
You know, Shatter in both times. We had them down double digits. We let them kind of get off the hook twice. You know, Black Hills, you know, we led them not the first time we played them. Of course, that wasn't a conference game, but. That was kind of a tough one. They came out hot, but we made a nice run in the second half, and got it within almost 10, I think.
Yep.
And then at their place, we were able to lead for quite a bit of the first half and into the second. And then I'm trying to think who am I missing. Mesa was a heck of a game here. You know, I thought we played extremely well. We just didn't score real well in that game. And so, yeah, I just think those teams were so close. We're knocking on that door. You know, but those are games, like I said, where we had a really glaring stat defensively, and that was our three-point defensive.
Sure.
And we've got to do a better job. You know, when you're a top three-point shooting team in the league like we were last year, and you end up even Steven, that's not good. So we have a great advantage, I think, because we do have so many shooters.
Yeah.
We need to win that battle by a significant margin.
Sure. Just looking at some of the teams, you know, that have been strong the last couple of years, you have Fort Lewis, I think, came in second in the preseason poll. BH is in that mix, and Mines, too. But all three of those schools lost a lot in the offseason.
Yeah.
So I think there could be a pretty big shakeup, I think, in the RMAC standings this year.
Well, I think it will, but those are three teams that, you know, maybe Black Hills was kind of just getting into it because they're pretty new in the league, and they really didn't really get going until, you know, probably within the last 3 years. But those other two, you know, you could throw Mesa in there as well. You know, those are just three traditional powers in our conference.
Sure.
And so I expect them to be back up there again and be formidable opponents for us.
Sure.
But it's one of those things is like, you know, it's not so much about who you're playing, it's how you play. And I think we've proven that, you know, when we play at a certain way and at a certain level, that we're capable to play with anybody. And again, like I said, we just got to find a way to take that next step.
Yeah. Talk about your depth a little bit. I know you guys, as a staff, have been a little happier with maybe being able to go a little deeper in the bench this year.
Yeah, you know, and that's all relative a little bit. You know, there's only so many minutes in a game.
Sure.
And if you want guys to be able to play with good rhythm and good chemistry and stuff, you know, not too many teams that I know of that have had successful seasons go too far past that 8-man rotation. You know, you might get a ninth or tenth guy in there for a couple of minutes, but not really significant minutes. So, you know, for us, that's where we're looking at. We want to try to find those eight guys early on. You know, we'll probably go around that 10-guy spot, try to give guys some opportunities that have earned those spots there. But by conference time, we would like it still to kind of be around that 8-man rotation.
Sure. You start the season with a few home games. What does that kind of do just to be able to be at home instead of traveling to Texas for the first time in a couple of years?
Yeah, you know, obviously we love playing at home, love playing in front of our fans. And that's always a great experience. You know, we have the best pep band in the nation, as far as I'm concerned. They bring great atmosphere. And I think our gym is a great place to play on any given Friday, Saturday night in Division II basketball. But at the same time, you know, it's always cool to travel. You get to do some neat things just together as a team and stuff. But, you know, this will be good. This is, you know, start off four games at home. It's obviously easier on the budget, so that's always nice. But, you know, it'll be fun to throw it up right here in the King Center.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Coach Glenn. Good luck with your scrimmage this evening, and good luck this season.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. We'll see you there.
Our second guest today, head men's soccer coach Bill Schaefer. Just wrapped up your last couple games of the season. Obviously, you played well, you know, in both games. You played well most of the season. What are you kind of just, I guess, what's your takeaway from this weekend and, I guess, the season overall?
Well, I think the team progressively got better throughout the season. You know, we talked about it earlier that it was a fairly new team, a lot of young guys out there, and so I think as the season goes on, they start to get a little more maturity, a little more understanding of what the team expectation is and our style of play, and obviously that takes time, and when you only have 2 weeks to prepare before season starts, you have to use the season to become better. And you know, I think our last, let's say, six games this year, which were big hitters, you know, Colorado School of Mines, Colorado Christian, Regis, UCCS, and CSU Pueblo, all guys that are going to make playoffs, all guys that last year beat us 0-6. 0-5. This year we held all those teams to a 0-1, 1-2, things like that. So I would say if we finished the season and every game was 0-6, then we would have gone backwards for the year. To see that they fought through every game, trying to get the win, although we couldn't find the back of the net, I would say we made massive leaps and bounds as far as the team goes.
Yeah, you mentioned it. The last four games, all one-goal games, all teams that are going to be likely in the RMAC playoffs. Some of them, I mean, CSU Pueblo is probably going to be a national title contender.
Yep.
How encouraging is that just to end the season so strongly, but also kind of frustrating to not be able to get a result out of a couple of those?
Yeah, I think earlier in the season I was frustrated, and then I had to be realistic with myself, which is how much can you expect out of 6-7 freshmen and expect them to always, you know, hey, you got to close out this game when your entire offensive half is freshmen, just the sheer pressure. So I think, you know, they'd get in front of the goal, they'd get opportunity, and then they would make these small errors that wouldn't allow for the ball to go in. And I think by the end of the season, I was frustrated, but I don't think it was in a negative way. It was, okay, now we have the potential. I know we can get the ball there. I know we're capable of getting it in their final third. We're capable of possessing the ball. We're capable of finding those areas that we need to. And so by next year, they'll have that much more experience. Of course, with spring, we'll have six weeks of just working on tactical. We don't have to worry about the results for the scrimmages. Those are, hey, let's see, are the practices transpiring over? So I would say if we were finishing as strong as we did, 0-1 against some of these high-level teams, we got nowhere to go but up, and I think the players saw that. I mean, when you're competing, like you said, last year Pueblo was second in the nation, and we're competing with them on a 0-1, and the one goal we gave up was a penalty kick. The team's doing something right.
Yeah.
You know, the players obviously understand they're good enough to be out there now. So I'd say all in all, no frustration at the end of the season. I think that kind of went away as I just saw the passion from the boys. So.
Sure. You kind of mentioned some of your youth. Basically, you're like, of your 11 starters, I think 9 of them, right, are going to be back next year. I think Aiden's probably the one that's gone, and then Garrett, I think, are the only two regular starters that for sure won't be back at this point.
So, yeah, we'll end up with 3 super seniors next year, Hayden Jaramillo, Trent Ripley, and then Aiden Ellis. So, yeah, so really exciting to have those three back. Obviously, one's a captain, and then the other two are strong leadership on the team. So I would say that we have a good core senior leadership coming back. And, of course, yes, as you said, I think our sophomore class is going to be strong as well. With the sophomores, there's 3 or 4 that are starters. 2 or 3 or 4, depending on the game. And then, of course, we have a few of them that are earning more and more minutes. And, of course, with the freshmen, we'll see retention on those starting players. So, and there's even a couple that have redshirted this year that show great potential. So I think we're set up for a really good next year.
Yeah. And maybe even, like, it's not even just the starters either. Some of your key bench guys this year are also, you know, freshmen and sophomores, like Jaden Roque. I know he started a couple times. But, I mean, you just have a ton of guys that show a ton of potential. That, I mean, how exciting is that as a coach looking forward?
Super exciting. I mean, it's guys like Jaden that made the team better because, you know, he started the season off slow and wasn't getting a lot of minutes, and the expectation within the team is you better come to practice, you better be competitive, and you're earning a spot. There's no, hey, you're a senior, you get a spot. It's, hey, it doesn't matter who you are, you just got to be showing what you're capable of on the field. And my thing is, you don't have to be the best player, you got to have effort. You got to have effort and hard work. And guys like Jaden, you know, came out and he worked through it, and he just kept showing a little bit better at every practice. And all of a sudden, yeah, he started, what, the last 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Still, small pieces. We got to work with him tactically to find the back of the net. But potentially is our best nine on the team, which is a striking position, which is a finishing position, but he just raises chaos up there. He's just one of those guys that kind of goes up there, gives you everything you got. And we have a couple of those. Johnny Hoche, a freshman this year, we redshirted him. About halfway through the season, we started seeing injury. He's done really well at practice, just working hard, great attitude. And I actually called him with four games left, and him and I talked, and I said, hey, man, if you, I could theoretically use you. You've been killing it at practices. And, you know, we decided not to, you know, just to not burn a year over four games. But the fact that I had the ability to call down if I needed, and I had good quality candidates that were willing to step on the field that are coming out of a redshirt class. So that's really good news for next year, right?
Yeah.
We have some redshirts that are ready to take minutes. I think it's great.
Yeah. And then I didn't mention him either, but Mateo Clegg was another one who was mostly a reserve. He wound up scoring a pretty impressive goal at one point. Chase Stolman got some minutes.
Yep.
All those guys are freshmen, which is kind of crazy, and crazy to see how well they perform, too, given that, I mean, your top 15 guys, like 12 or 13 of them were freshmen or sophomores. So.
Well, it gives hope for the future. I mean, obviously, we retain them. You know, you got to win some games to retain players. We won some games this year. I mean, we obviously won one last year. So although three doesn't sound like this amazing feat, it is. And it's not like it was just, you know, two against Adams State, one against Eastern New Mexico. I mean, Eastern New Mexico, that was a huge upset for them. And, you know, I don't know when the last time we had a win in conference. We got one this year, which was, you know, really exciting for the boys. So once you get the taste for it, I was explaining it to the boys yesterday after the game, and I said, we're no longer last seat. We're no longer the team that you're going to just beat. And, you know, I kind of mentioned it earlier. We're no longer the layup that gets you the free points to conference. I think several of these coaches sat back this year from other teams going, wait a minute, we're going to have to work for this, or we're going to fight for it. And to be honest with you, a lot of the games that we lost were due to our error. And so if we can fix that, which we're capable of, again, youth, they make errors, it gives us pretty good hope to say, hey, guys like Mateo Clay, guys like Zach Piroff, you know, these guys that are coming out, they're phenomenal players, freshmen. What are they going to be like when they're juniors and sophomores, you know, or sophomore, junior, sorry. What can that team have the potential? And then, of course, always adding a few recruits every year. Hopefully we find talent to get, you know, that talent to fill the holes that we lose every year. But the bricks are in place. I think the team camaraderie, I think the competitive nature is back on the team. They're fighting for it, you know, fighting for it, having fun. Like, who's going to get the minutes? Who's going to get the starting spot? What can they do at practice to get attention from the coach? Things like that.
Yeah, and in goal, early in the season, you kind of had Cole and Daniel split time, but by the end of the year, middle of the year, Daniel had kind of taken over that role. What were you excited with about his play this season?
You know, Daniel had a pretty good year last year. Obviously a freshman. I think he played 16 or 15 out of 18 games. Started real strong, came out. I mean, he got his opportunity when our senior goalie got hurt. And it came to a tryout, basically. Had a couple practices, and Daniel came out on top. And then, you know, he made some issues towards the end of last year that cost him starting spot. Cole stepped in, and Cole did a great job. And, you know, it's 6-8 months later, we're back into season, and it's the same thing. We're all trying out for our spots. I think Cole, you know, did a good job this year, had some errors, and then gave Daniel an opportunity. The problem with Daniel is he's consistent. You know, he's making some world-class saves out there. I think a lot of guys underestimate him because of his size, but he's springy. I mean, the guy can jump, you know, to the 90s and make saves. He had a one-arm save against, was it UCCS? Or maybe it was, I don't know. I mean, he was across the goal, hand out. I don't know how he did it. I mean, but he's just one of those guys. He pushes himself to do better. He keeps the team energized. I mean, he's going to be one of the same thing. One of those guys that he's a junior next year. We actually have some senior players that are you know, really talented. And when I say senior players, you know, upperclassmen, maybe that's a better term, that'll be coming back next year, which, you know, should be a really good thing. And I think Daniel's one of those guys that leads the field. You can hear his voice from start to finish during the game. So, yeah, real excited to have him on the team.
Sure. You kind of mentioned three games won this year, but there were six games that were lost by one goal. Is that something that you think just kind of fixes itself with youth getting older?
Well, yeah.
I mean, soccer's kind of a funny game that way, too, but...
You know, we had all the opportunity in the world. We had more than enough balls go across the net. Within our style of play and how we play, the expectation of, you know, our forwards, and that's our wingers and our striker and our offensive 10. And we got the balls there. What we didn't have was clinical finishing, where we could just get a body part on it. I think a lot of times, you know, young men watch so much professional sports, they think every goal's got to be this perfect upper 90, and it's got to be this great whatever, when it's just a toe poke sometimes. You know, it's got to be dirty. You know, it could be any body part, knee, yeah, chest, whatever, just get in the back of the net. Once you build that confidence, you get one or two or three goals, you're like, oh, it becomes easier. And I think that's where we'll find some more success, is when we start working through tactical in spring, and we get a few of those scrimmages. One of the main focuses is, you know, working through all thirds of the field, but can we get a few players with confidence? I mean, one goal, it's we had the opportunity, we just didn't finish. I mean, so it wasn't like we never, last year we spent 80% of the game in our defensive third, and we just got hammered, beat up one after another game. We were never up in the opponent's final third with even the ability to score a goal, and it's something bad. It was, we had a good defensive line. We just couldn't get work the ball up through these really aggressive teams. And this year, I think we were in their third more than they were in ours, and I'd say most cases, where we had those opportunities. So that in itself is massive, where if we can get the ball there, we can keep the ball there, we're getting shots on goal. I mean, I think we had more shots on goal in the last three games than we did all last season. I mean, that says something to me, that we have the want, we're getting up there. So pretty exciting. I mean, now we just, I told them it's 6 inches away, and that's the white line, and then we're there. So I think with a little maturity, guys coming back, a little more practice, you know, just getting comfortable, getting that confidence, maturity, I think we'll be there.
Sure. Obviously, you have a few months off now until spring, but I guess what, looking ahead, I guess, what are the kind of things you're looking forward to, I guess, see and improve upon in the spring?
Well, over the next couple months, we'll be doing the recruiting for next year, doing our, you know, our meetings with the current players, kind of see where everybody's head's at, who's coming back, things like that, and then allow me to kind of really hunker down to see what type of player we need to bring in for next year. I think spring is huge. I honestly, for me, it was something last year, you know, we were kind of working through a style of play that I don't think everybody bought into, and this year there's not a choice. We play this way, and this is what we do. And so now I think being able to have 6 weeks and just hone the skill is going to be massive for the team. Where when they came in this year, it was like, hey, we're hitting the reboot button. This is what we're doing. Here's our formation. And so it took us weeks just to get them kind of to understand how everything was moving and flowing, where we can now go into spring, spend a ton of time defining all the small things we missed this season. And again, errors, build that maturity. And then when they come in for fall next year, it's a refresher. It's not a, it's, we're not starting from scratch. And so that's exciting. And then with the new recruits, it's, you just plug and play. Like, hey, this is how we play. And it's not this massive coaching all 11. We're coaching the one or two plug and plays, the new guys. And then the rest of them, we have it. So being able to be consistent now. Now we're going to be able to go into a second season with some consistency style, you know, and I think that's important. And I think the boys think that's important. They believe in it. It works. And the guys that don't believe in the style of play, they're coming around because they see the success.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today, Bill.
Yeah. It was awesome. I look forward to spring, and I look forward to watching, let's say, all Hard Rocker football finish up. I'm excited to see the volleyball girls play. I think they have kind of, they may make playoffs.
They'll probably almost for sure make RMAC playoffs.
Super so excited. Like, I... a lot of good things going on with the athletic department. I love all the coaching staffs, and I've actually, me and the boys have been going to more and more events, and it's, we even got to watch them play Colorado School Mines football team. When we went down to Denver to play Colorado School Mines, we watched the football team, and Coach Charlie's out there. I mean, maybe not his best game, but the boys loved it. It was awesome. So I think We're seeing more of that. I think volleyball girls are coming down to our games, and yeah. I think that's it's just awesome to see all these different players kind of moving around and joining in. So sounds like this year's gone really well for the Hard Rockers, and they're finding some good success. So.
Yeah, definitely some special things happening in the department right now.
So, well, good. I appreciate it, Josh, and yeah, enjoy the day.
This has been the Coach's Corner. I'm Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert, signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Rocker Huddle with host Josh Van Valkenburg-Gernert. Follow on Apple and Spotify.